CE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News House Speaker election. I'm Mike Dubusky. Louisiana Republican Mike Johnson is on track to lose the first ballot in his bid for the House speakership, with Republicans Thomas Massie and Ralph Norman voting for other candidates. ABC's Jay O'Brien says the Massie vote was expected.
There's already one Republican who's come out and said he's a firm no vote, Thomas Massie, who says despite Donald Trump endorsing Johnson and doubling down on that endorsement, it's not going to move his vote. Here's what he told me.
Are you defying Donald Trump here by voting no?
No, I'm trying to help him. Look, I did.
He said back Johnson.
8 years ago, he said back Paul Ryan. I was the only one that voted against Paul Ryan, and we see how that turned out for the president. I'm trying to help him out here.
Massie instead cast his ballot for Tom Emmer of Minnesota. Norman voted for Jim Jordan. Johnson earlier told ABC News that losing the first ballot is nothing and that he's in this for the long haul. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. A man is in custody and is accused of attempted homicide after a shooting earlier this week. In a release, Tomah Police said that a 46-year-old man was arrested in Sauk County Tuesday. At 1:15 Tuesday morning, police found an 80-year-old man with multiple gunshot wounds. The man was taken to a hospital with life-threatening injuries. Police then found the alleged shooter's children safe in Juneau County. At about 7 o'clock Tuesday, the 46-year-old man was arrested. He is being recommended for multiple charges, including attempted homicide. The Iowa County Communications Center received a report of a domestic disturbance early New Year's Day. A call came in around 12:45 reporting the disturbance on County Road Double H and County Road H in the township of Arena. Iowa County Sheriff's Deputy responded to the scene and arrested Nicholas J. Hansen, 38, of Barneveld, on charges of battery, disorderly conduct, and resisting or obstructing an officer. Hansen was transported to the Iowa County Jail, where he was later released on bond. Homicides in Milwaukee dropped for a second year in a row. Milwaukee Police Department data show the total number of homicides for 2024 at 131, 41 fewer than the total in 2023. The city's record year for homicides was 215 in 2023. Though the 2024 total took a drastic drop, it still doesn't match up with pre-pandemic numbers for total homicides. The data also showed that non-fatal shootings were down by about a quarter and carjackings increased by 11%. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
It's the Packers and the Bears. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Bears Sunday. Green Bay has beat Chicago now 11 times in a row. Three Packers players named to the Pro Bowl, Rashawn Gary, and two free agents who joined the team this year, Josh Jacobs and safety Xavier McKinney.
Definitely special. You know, obviously this organization bringing in two great guys, two great leaders, and helping be a part of, you know, already successful team, and just taking us that much further, taking it another step further.
NBA, the Bucks tried to make a comeback, scoring 20 unanswered points in the fourth quarter, but lost at home to the Nets, 113-110. Doc Rivers asked, have the Bucks played the right way since their win in the NBA Cup?
Yeah, well, honestly, I thought we have played the right way overall. Since Vegas, we've been shorthanded. There's not a lot of nights like this where we play offense like the way we played tonight. So, yeah.
The Bucks host the Trailblazers 7 o'clock tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today and cold, with high temperatures tapping 20 degrees and wind chills really feeling more like the single digits as winds are whipping out of the northwest, gusting around 25 miles per hour. They won't quit tonight, so it'll really be feeling near 10 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 19.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out. The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane, Matt Nair, and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll recap the weekend's news and we bring back Beyond the Cheese. Wisconsin knitwear is featured. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 now, past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program on Friday, TGIF, January 3rd, 2025. It is a great day to be Wisconsinite. Sunny skies through most of the state. A little cool, a little winter cool down here in January, but hey, that's Wisconsin winters, as it turns out. Glad to have you along here for hour number 2. Another big hour, very fluid here on a Friday. Lots going on. Coming up in a moment, what's worse, your chance to call and text in on the question of the day. Also, then at 1:34, Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, will be in with a lighter look at the week in review. And also, we're following the dramatic events happening in Washington, D.C. right now, as the United States House of Representatives meeting, the first formal meeting of the new House, trying to elect a speaker. And on the first vote, Representative Mike Johnson, Republican incumbent of Louisiana, has lost to Democrat Hakeem Jeffries of New York, 216 to 215, with 3 Republican members voting for someone other than Johnson. So a couple of questions. You say, well, Johnson got the majority of the votes. Why didn't he win? And to go along with that, over the break there, I got a text as well. Great question from one of our great listeners, Dave in New Berlin, asking, how can Hakeem Jeffries win? Is it by a majority? Yes, you nailed it. It's not a simple majority, according to House rules. It's a majority of members present. So there are 435 members of the House of Representatives. The Matt Gaetz seat of Florida is vacant because he resigned. And even though he got elected to this Congress, he said, no, I'm not going to be there. So his seat is, for all intents and purposes, vacant. I'm not sure that he could show up right now and vote. I don't know how that would work. He's working for, you know, the right-wing group OWN right now, has a program there. Wouldn't that be dramatic if he showed up and voted? But for all intent and purposes, there are 434 members present today in a quorum call vote, basically like the roll call. So with 216 for Johnson, 215 for Jeffries, and 3 members voting for someone else, that gets you to 434. That is not a majority of those present. So the way that Hakeem Jeffries could, keyword could, technically become speaker, although I don't think there's any chance it'll happen, is that if a couple more of those holdout Republicans simply didn't vote for anyone, and were just, but they were there, they're present, and then that way that would
that would count towards the majority, and that's how kind of Hakeem Jeffries could do a backdoor entry to the speakership. I do not think that will happen. And so they finally, according to reporting I'm seeing, they have finally closed the vote. They can keep it open for an indefinite amount of time because they were trying to get one of those three holdouts to change over and vote for Johnson. But apparently they've decided to close the vote. According to reporting I'm seeing, while the first House Speaker vote has not yet been called, Speaker Mike Johnson is on track to lose with the current breakdown, and the House is poised to go immediately to a second vote without a break. House Democratic Whip has sent a notice to its members to return to the floor immediately and be ready for a second roll call. Multiple holdouts ultimately voted for House Speaker Mike Johnson in dramatic fashion after initially skipping their turn in what appeared to be a short-lived protest of the Speaker. Seven Republicans did not vote during the initial roll call. Andy Briggs, Andrew Clyde, Michael Cloud, Paul Gosar, Andy Harris, and Chip Roy, along with Michael Waltz, appeared to accidentally, quote-unquote, miss his turn. At the end of the roll call, all seven were given a final chance to vote, and all seven voted for Johnson. One of the holdouts, Clyde, walked down the aisle to speak his vote directly to the clerk, carrying what appeared to be a Bible, no word whether it was a Trump Bible, one of Johnson's whips in his speaker's race, Dusty Johnson, was seen in animated back-and-forth conversation in the back of the room with Roy. High stakes. Speaker Johnson left the House chamber, as Amr said earlier. It appeared likely that he did not secure the votes to keep him with the gavel on the first ballot, which is what happened. At this point, Johnson needs to flip Representative Thomas Massey, Ralph Normand, or self, all who did not vote for Johnson. Further complicating matters, Norman and self had not previously communicated their position to the speaker, according to multiple GOP sources. So that they knew that Massey was a no. But Norman and self did not give an indication that they were going to be a holdout. So now you got to go back and find out what these guys want. You got to flip one of them. So we'll keep track of that as this half hour and hour goes on. So far, we see Speaker Johnson on the floor right now. And this is the other cool thing. Normally, we do not see the more candid video on the House floor because C-SPAN cameras have very strict camera shots they're allowed to take because the speaker sets the rule for those C-SPAN cameras. But because technically, there is no speaker right now, that means C-SPAN gets to do whatever they want. Wouldn't that be fun, Zomers, to be in the control room and control, you know, let's have fun, boys and girls.
Oh, that would be great.
Right? When the producers and engineers get to control the show.
Let's show what's really happening.
Right. Exactly. So that's why we have this shot right now. We can see Speaker Johnson huddling on the back of the House floor with a bunch of people around him pointing with a pen in animated fashion, talking to somebody. You wouldn't see, and this is why I think there should be deregulation of C-SPAN cameras. We should be allowed to see all this all the time.
I mean, why not?
Right? If you're in the House gallery, if you're there in person, you get to see it. Why not? But anyway, that's what's going on right now in the House of Representatives.
I think if they did that, it would get a lot more people interested in politics because right? It has to be reality TV for anyone to care these days, right? Or at least that's how it seems in the era of Donald Trump. And this brings it a lot closer.
Yeah. Patrick in the 608 on MDX, so confused. Has Todd mixed up Jeffries and Johnson a few times here? Maybe once or twice. I apologize. I got a little excited. They both start with J, you understand?
They do.
But here's the vote count right now. On the first vote, to clarify, it was Johnson 216, Jeffries 215, and three Republican members voted for someone else. So although Johnson technically got more votes, he did not win a majority of the members present. So he lost the first ballot. So Johnson needs to flip one of the three others to him. That's what needs to happen. Or, and again, this is the far, far outside shot that most likely would never happen, but technically it could, if those three members simply did not vote, even though they were present, and all of Jeffrey's people stayed with him, he could technically become Speaker of the majority party, but probably not going to happen. The realistic possibility here in the second round is they're going to try to flip one of those people, one of the three Republicans that voted for someone else, and Johnson would win in the second or third ballot. It took Kevin McCarthy, or it was 15 ballots, remember, after Matt Gaetz threw his fit and they threw out Kevin McCarthy. It took 15 ballots to elect Johnson the first time. I mean, he wasn't on all those ballots, to be fair. There were other people being put up at the time. But again, as we said in hour one, there must be a Congress seated. You can't have you have to have a speaker and a sworn in Congress to certify the election results for president on January 6th. So that's why Trump is trying to get people in order on his party. Because, you know, wouldn't that be embarrassing? It wouldn't be the opposition party. It'd be your own party that did you in on certification on January 6th. Not a good look if you're the Republicans. All right, 16 now past the hour. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go.
The choice is yours. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved. Only your chance to have your voice heard across the state of Wisconsin on the questions of the day. Not always the most pertinent or important question, but the most interesting. As Barbara Walters used to say, the most fascinating questions. Remember that at the end of the year, it wasn't the most important person of the year. It wasn't the best person. She called her program on ABC the most fascinating people of 2024 or whatever the year was.
I think that's the way to do it. Just like time person of the year confuses right. people sometimes. It's not best person of the year. Right. It is most newsworthy person of the year.
Right. Whichever they deem most newsworthy. So, all right, here we go. What's worse, arrogance or ignorance? What's worse, arrogance or ignorance? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We'd love to hear from you on this Friday afternoon. You can text your answers in to the text line as well. Simply download the Civic Media app. Go to whatever first 11 stations that we're on. Click it. You'll go over to the text icon and text in your answer. Or you can call us, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, arrogance or ignorance? That's a fascinating question. You know what's... And again, I guess we could apply this to ourselves or to people that we hang out with. What's worse? Is it worse to have someone who's just arrogant and always kind of self-centered? Or worse to be around people who are just ignorant of the facts and what's going on?
My opinion
is,
actually, before I share it, Chris and Madison texted in and he nailed what I was about to say. Mm-hmm. He says, in my experience, they tend to be very associated traits. So arrogantly ignorant.
That could be the worst.
Is the worst. And I'll have to describe that in a minute because we're about out of time.
All right. Yes, we're going to break here, but give us a call. What's worse, arrogance or ignorance? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Going to continue on with this. We have Peter Apine at the bottom of the hour and continuing to look at the second vote for Speaker in Washington on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey. Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Clayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Your arrogance blinds you, Master Yoda.
Nicely done, Tom. Welcome back to the Tom Arbol Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Friday, January 3rd, 2025. Lots going on. Going to keep you up to date on all of it. A little Emperor Palpatine there. Lord Palpatine from Star Wars. I like that. Yes. The what's worse, arrogance or ignorance? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, asking the important question of the day. What do we have here? Steve, listening in Milwaukee on WAUK, perhaps, says, in my opinion, arrogance because it is willful. Arrogance because it is willful ignorance in most cases.
Right. When somebody, ignorance is way better when somebody can admit that they're wrong. But when they are too arrogant to admit that they're ignorant, that's when we really run into trouble.
Matt in Middleton, listening on MDX, says, both can be comforting and innocent, but in today's world, ignorance is clearly worse, i.e. voting for Trump again. Well, we talked a little bit about that yesterday. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree, but I also think there's a larger problem that I don't want to get into right now, which we've talked about before and we'll talk about on future programs. The part of the perceived ignorance, or actual, I guess, real ignorance, is where people are getting their information from, which some people believe is legit information because they only listen to one or two news sources. So, but that's a discussion for a different day. But overall, I agree. Dave may have the best answer. Dave in New Berlin says, I vote present.
Well, Dave, now we're not going to be able to determine a winner, but thanks. Yes,
very, very well done. Of course, that's the other big story we're following right now, the House Speaker's race. And now new report has been going back and forth, but apparently the most recent reporting we have a couple of minutes ago is that the vote for Speaker of the House, the first vote, they have not gaveled that shut yet. So there are three Republicans that are holding out. Mike Johnson needs to get one of them to flip their vote in order to be Speaker. If he can't do it, they'll gavel that first round closed and go to a second round. But for now, they're trying to twist the arms. I can't imagine those conversations of those three Republican members trying to get one to flip to make Mike Johnson the Speaker of the House. So we'll continue to watch that.
You're still part of the team, right?
I've heard that one before. What's worse, arrogance or ignorance? Listener on WMDX says, arrogance by a mile. Ignorance takes but a minute to change, while arrogance takes a lifetime. Len, listening on MDX in Madison, says arrogance may be worse, as the ignorance may be remedied with learning. Arrogance, more difficult to change. And Tyler, listening on WMDX, says, arrogance, even though we live in the information age, some people don't know everything or missed a key part. Ignorance is easier to be accidental. Sometimes being called ignorant sparks the education. Arrogance is always on purpose, unquote. That's a good point as well. Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor and friend on watching on Facebook. This is really good. One of my favorite stories from Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. Quote, spirit, are they yours? Scrooge could say no more. They are man's, the spirit said, looking down upon them. And they cling to me, appealing from their fathers. This boy is ignorance. This girl is want. Beware them both and all of their degree. But most of all, beware this boy. And Perry says, I agree with Mr. Dickens. Beware of ignorance. Really good.
And that's where the thing, that's where it comes in with what Casper said and what many others are saying, is that they're often tied together. People stay ignorant either, I mean, to some extent, you don't know what you don't know. But if a situation comes up and you realize you don't know and that you should, if you're not arrogant, you will make an effort to learn.
If you choose ignorance, right? If you, and I think we talked about this, ties into what we were talking about a little bit yesterday. If you don't want to have the hard conversations that challenge what you feel is true, but you're presented evidence that you know contradicts that, if you choose not to have that conversation and challenge yourself, that's where it becomes willful ignorance, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Steve, watching on YouTube, says arrogance. Of course, everyone knows ignorance is bliss. Well, there's some truth to that, right? Steve also had a good comment earlier. We were talking a little bit about back and forth language, particularly on the Democratic side, in this great article in Politico by Democratic U.S. Senator Brian Schatz. Steve said, at age 60, and much like you, Todd, I've been on both sides of the political aisle. Plain understanding, middle-of-the-road communication is mandatory for the Democrats to win, like Tammy Baldwin. Term and age limits are important, too. He makes a great point. Again, I feel that that's part of why Tammy Baldwin got reelected, in my opinion, in a tough year for Democrats. Again, we've talked about this with Trigby on this show. She goes around the state of Wisconsin into the small towns and places that overwhelmingly vote Republican for other races, and she sits and has conversations. And you know what? Maybe the most important thing, because I've seen her do it, she listens. She doesn't come in there and demean people. She doesn't come in there and use academia words. She doesn't come in there and say, this is why I'm right. She's like, so how's it going? What's going on here? And if they want to unload a little bit on her, she listens and says, I get it. You know, I mean, I'm not paraphrasing now, but she doesn't get into arguments. She'll listen. And then she might point out and say, well, you know, it is important, I think, to remember this. And she'll lay a fact on them, but not in a demeaning or hoity-toity way. And the other thing is, because Trivi has seen himself, she finishes her beer at Wisconsin bars. It's true.
Not a lot of politicians will do that.
No. She's not there for the photo op. She's not there to take one sip of beer and walk out. She's there to actually have a beverage with her constituents, all of them, and listen. And I think that Tammy Baldwin epitomizes, perhaps more than any other politician that I've seen, that she's not just a senator for those who vote for her. She's a senator for all Wisconsinites.
Yes. Regardless of policy, we need more people like that in our government.
Yeah, absolutely. What's worse, arrogance or ignorance? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If I had to vote, I think my vote would be for arrogance, because I'll agree with some other people. I think that's more chosen sometimes. You choose to be arrogant. If you make a choice to be ignorant, that's even worse. But again, ignorance sometimes is bliss. All right, come on back. A little Peter Rapine, the week in review. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Friday. Thank goodness, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds anglers that they will be able to target any of Wisconsin's inland trout species using artificial lures only starting January 4th through May 2nd on designated early season trout streams. Any trout caught during this time will need to be immediately released. All anglers are encouraged to continue to practice responsible catch and release and reduce their reel and handling time with the fish as much as possible. Tips on how to release your catch responsibly can be found on the DNR's Responsible Release webpage. Anglers will be able to keep the trout they catch once the general hook and line season opens on May 3rd, provided bag limits and length requirements are met. Check the Guide to Wisconsin's Trout Fishing Regulations for specifics. Anyone wishing to participate in the season will need a 2024-25 fishing license and an inland trout stamp, which are both good until March 31st, and can be purchased online through Go Wild or at one of many licensed sales locations throughout the state. After April 1st, anglers will need a 2025-26 fishing license and inland trout stamp. For a look at trout streams across the state, access the Trout Tool and additional trout fishing information on the DNR's Inland Trout Fishing webpage. A peregrine falcon born at a Wisconsin power plant has been spotted in the wild. That bird named Trapper was spotted by a bird watcher in Sheboygan Falls this fall. Once peregrines leave the nest, they are rarely spotted in the wild again. Trapper was one of nine chicks that was born at a We Energies power plant in 2024. The Falcon program at We Energies has helped raise over 450 chicks since it started in 1992. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Tom Cruise is getting into the casting business. The Mission Impossible star is currently looking for a younger version of himself to play the role of Ethan Hunt. The next two installments of the franchise, those would be films 8 and 9, will be prequels. Rumor has it the eighth film will be Cruise's last on screen, but he will still continue to produce the franchise. Glenn Powell was initially rumored to take over the role, but those rumblings have recently been shot down. No word yet on whether or not Cruise will expect his younger self to do his own stunts. Could be a deal breaker. Sticking with the action thriller genre, Viola Davis will play the president in the upcoming film G20. Variety reports the Oscar winner will play Commander-in-Chief Danielle Sutton, who narrowly avoids being kidnapped, then proceeds to save her family and the world. The film will be directed by Patricia Riggin and drop on Amazon Prime this coming spring. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today and cold, with high temperatures tapping 20 degrees and wind chills really feeling more like the single digits as winds are whipping out of the northwest, gusting around 25 miles per hour. They won't quit tonight, so it'll really be feeling near 10 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Currently, it's 21.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'll talk the Packer-Bear matchup with Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clements. Then Rob Thomas drops by to talk movies and TV. Now that's a Friday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
We'll be right back.
pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network on January 3rd, a Friday, TGIF 2025. 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Before we get to our friend Peter Rapine for some having fun doing it part, a little bit of pursuing the truth. Breaking news at this hour. It appears that Mike Johnson has been elected House Speaker. That's how quick things move out there. Just take a four-minute commercial break and it's all over. Mike Johnson got two of the Republicans, two of the three that were holdouts, to flip their vote to him. And so now Johnson has 218, Hakeem Jeffries 215, one member still voting for someone else. That means that Mike Johnson has secured a majority of those present and has been elected Speaker of the House. So there you go. Crisis has been averted so far. A little drama here gave us something to talk about for the first hour. But, you know, again, for the institution, for the working of government, probably better just to have a neat ending to the day out there in D.C. Again, Johnson is elected Speaker of the House, 218-215, with one Republican member voting for somebody else. 35 minutes now past the hour, 1 o'clock.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up
tough? Time once again for Week in Review with our friend and ongoing contributor, Peter Rapine. He is the managing editor of E-Bombs World Summers. What in the world did you dial up? I got to believe that it's not make the Mike Johnson playlist on Spotify. What was that?
Well, Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot, of course.
Sir Mix-a-Lot. Yeah, I forgot. Oh, yeah. Very good. Peter Rapine, welcome back to the show. Happy holidays, my friend. Great to see you. How you been?
I've been great, Todd. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's to you.
This first story is going to be a nice follow-up to the Speaker of the House news.
All right. And ties in a little bit. All right, what do you got, Peter? Let's get right into it again. Just for people who have not heard this segment before, these are actual headlines from actual events, real human behavior, not fiction. These are actual things that your folks at EPOM's World scour the internet for and report to us.
Yes, and we'd like to have a nice mix of things happening on the internet and things happening in the real world. Mm-hmm. This first story is something that you can only get online because the internet, I think, is only a place where stuff like this can kind of fly.
Okay.
Headline reads, woman makes beautiful cakes, then sits on them. And this is... a
woman
fetish.
Makes beautiful cakes and then sits on them. Go ahead.
And so this is a fetish TikTok account called Cakes on Cakes, where a woman makes a beautiful cake. Clearly she has some like baking history.
Yes.
The first 30, 40 seconds of any video is her decorating the most gorgeous cake you've ever seen. And then it ends with her sitting on said cake and squishing it.
Now, to play the role of my mother for a minute, she would ask, she's listening to this, she'd say, now, why would somebody do that?
The better question is, who is watching these videos?
Yes, I agree 100%. Not that somebody's doing it, but that people are actually watching this.
And if anyone listening is over the age of 30 and has been online a long time, they'll probably remember a website called CakeFarts.com, okay, where a woman used to do a similar thing, but she would also fart on the cakes. That's not happening here. She's just sitting on
no this. Flatulence involved.
No, zero.
It's only the song is appropriate that Zomer's played to come into the segment because she has a rather large posterior. It's very nice. I'm not judgmental, but she's not a slender posterior person.
No, she really earned the handle Cakes on Cakes. It's not false advertisement by any stretch.
And I'm watching this video right now that you've linked in your story on EPOM's World. And this isn't somebody that's just making a Betty Crocker mix cake. She's a real baker. I mean, she's going to all this work to put the different layers of decoration on there. I mean, she really is a very talented baker.
Yeah, if anyone listening is familiar with the genre of video that is known as the hydraulic press genre, where people put marbles or cans in between the hydraulic press you watch it slowly get crushed. It's like that, but her body is the press.
But with cans, I kind of get it. Cause it's like, oh, well, it's like Letterman dropping stuff off of the old NBC building or whatever. Mm. You want to see what's it.
Well, in this case, will it float?
Yes.
She filled it with a bunch of goop. I mean, do you want to listen to some audio from the video? See how it turned out?
Sure, why not?
Welcome back to another episode of Cakes on Cakes, where I take those two big gumdrops there and we crush some cakes with it. But first, you got to make it, and today's cake is inspired by I don't give a f*** because I did not want to make a cake. I was on my period. I was just not in the mood, but I thought I would use that as my muse for today's cake so I would have content to be made. Yeah, she came out pretty solid, but now that she's done, you guys know how it is. We got to go ahead and crush her. Goodbye, buddy cake.
She is now sitting on the cake.
I'm not going to lie, because I had to freeze it, it did not goop out as much as I wanted, but it's whatever. It's done. All right. Well, until next time, guys.
Dave in New Berlin asks, so you can see cellulite imprints in the frosting? Yeah. You actually can again. thank you for that audio, because that really made it for me. I love somebody who's forthright and just says, I'm on my period. I didn't want to do this, but I got to make content.
it's a grind out there. Right? Everyone is grinding. Yeah.
Right.
And she does wear clothes. She is wearing yoga pants in the videos. So if you go on the site looking for something else, you're not going to find it.
It's not porn. It's just.
No, but it is a fetish.
I guess it might be a fetish. Cakes on cakes. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely a fantastic way to start off, Ray Pine. What's your next headline at EPOM's World?
So our next one is actually a local story for you guys. Mm. News headline reads, news investigating murder may have accidentally interviewed the guy who did it.
And before we go on, this is real. And I said to Zomers before we started the show, when you sent this or CP sent it, we live in Wisconsin. Why had I not heard about this? And it says this is real. News investigating murder may have accidentally interviewed the guy who did it. Go on.
So the news stories from October, a dead body was found wrapped in a tarp, and a clip has come out of a man being interviewed. Yes. And I believe that he is now one of the prime suspects in the murder.
And this happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where we have one of our stations. I shouldn't be laughing, but a dead body discovered wrapped in a tarp in the middle of a park in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and go on one of the local news crews interviewed a man on the street type of thing.
And it turns out that he was one of the people who allegedly sent a tip into the police about the murder. And I know they say that typically like serial killers or people that do things like this like to be involved. Mm. They like to watch the case kind of get solved. Do we have audio for this one too, Aaron?
All right, here we go.
Just a block from the Waukesha County Courthouse, across the street from Frame Park, a body was found in the wooded area behind this small apartment building.
It's bizarre. It is bizarre. You wonder what's going on.
Conrad Leishvik was heading out of his building yesterday when he noticed police outside. A neighbor told me a man doing yard work for the building found a body wrapped in a tarp.
Going back just a little bit further.
Deb Hernandez lives up the hill from the apartment building, and her property includes some of the wooded area behind the apartments. Her first thought, like Conrad's, is this is somehow connected to the homeless people they see living in Frame Park.
We're so close to the river and everything.
This is the third body in the last month found in the city of Waukesha. September 6th, police say a man accidentally drowned in the river in Frame Park. On October 27th, a homeless person was found dead of natural causes on the Glacial Drumlin Trail. Police say this death is considered suspicious. However, they don't know how the person died or who the person is.
I feel like it's sad. I feel like
I honestly feel like it's probably the homeless, you know, and I feel like it's a sad situation.
Waukesha police say they can't say more about the death, except that it is suspicious until they get back all the testing from the medical examiner's office. In Waukesha, Rebecca Clough, TMJ4 News.
So there was the actual cut from TMJ4 News in Milwaukee, television station, interviewing this guy who identified as Conrad Lightwick. It turns out the guy's real name was Kevin Lightwick, and in his apartment, police claim they found, quote, handwritten notes that they believe were a hit list. Peter Rapine, what up with that?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? I mean, I guess the police got lucky this time, right? They got a nice hand from the local news. So people say the news isn't what it used to be, right? Send them our direction.
Right? Yeah. I mean, and obviously it was just, you know, serendipity or whatever you want to call it, but a little eerie, right? I mean, that you know, that would have been like a news reporter interviewing Ed Gein. And he said, you know, geez, I had that sandwich down the street. Boy, it did not taste right, as it turns out. Turned out Gein, I mean, come on. All right. That was good. A little Wisconsin flavor. No pun intended. Very good. All right. Next headline, Peter Rapine. We can review here. All these stories can be found on ebombsworld.com. Real headlines from real stories.
So the next story comes to us from the UK. So there's an issue of church attendance. Church attendance has been falling dramatically in the United States, in the UK, in Europe, around the world. For decades. And some churches have come up with a new way of getting people into the pews. Mm. And this church, headline reads, church hosts wrestling match to get people back into the pews.
I love this. Church hosts wrestling match to get people back into the pews. Look, it's tough out there for pastors to get people into and this is creative. Go ahead.
Yes. I mean, in the U.S., like the mega churches, they have all the money in the world, so they can hire, you know, lame techs and guys with trucks and guns and you name it.
It's production.
Pyrotechnics up the wazoo. Yeah, they're theater performances.
Exactly.
You know? But in the UK, the mega churches haven't really caught on. Right. So ROKing someone is probably the best way to to get someone into church on a Sunday morning.
So they're hosting actual wrestling events inside, but it's not, is it during service or is it just like a side thing? Like come to 10 o'clock, we'll have service followed by a potluck dinner. And then at 2 o'clock, it's, you know, the mask taking on the chain or something. I don't know.
Well, you'd expect them to host it afterwards to get people to hang around. Mm-hmm. But I like to imagine that the priest is the referee and he's giving his sermon as people are like clotheslining each other and kicking each other and punching each other. Yeah.
Wait, and a good pastor, priest, you know, whoever, they could wrap that into the story, the biblical story, right? You know, you could have.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You could have a retelling of David and Goliath in the
right
ring.
Right.
Who wouldn't want to see that? Yeah, the crucifixion. Right.
Talk about young people coming into the church, David and Goliath in real time, baby.
And here comes Jesus. He flipped a table.
Right? Taking on the tax collectors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is what young people want to see in church these days. And God love the British for being, you know, a little ingenious here. Because, and when you say, just so our listeners understand, when you say mega churches, we're not talking about, quote unquote, Trump mega churches, although in some cases that might be one of the same. We're talking
EGA, like
right,
huge.
Like big, these big churches that are, like you say, have budgets of over millions of dollars and bring in they're productions. They're not so much church services as they are productions.
Yes, mega. Yeah. Yes. MEGA.
Right. Yeah. I had to clarify that because the term has kind of been bastardized now. All right, Rapine. Let's see. We're coming up on a break here. Gonna do a little business, as we say. And then we're going to come back with more exciting and fun headlines from EPOM's World and Peter Rapine. How about that, Rapine?
Sounds great. I'm excited.
The always understated but effervescent Peter Rapine. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Little in the middle, but she got much back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In November 2022, Michigan voters passed a constitutional amendment enshrining voting protections and expanding ballot access. After the legislature implemented the voters' directive, GOP legislators sued, claiming that only the legislature could make such changes. Proposition 2 mandated 9 days of early voting, protections for voters and election workers from harassment, and a tracking system for absentee ballots. It allowed for the funding of secure drop boxes and the counting of military and overseas ballots if postmarked by Election Day, and several other reforms. Conjuring the independent state legislature theory, which argues that the U.S. Constitution allows only legislatures to control election law, 11 Michigan GOP legislators sued. On December 20th, the Federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court's denial of the Michigan legislators' claim. But importantly, it did so, saying that while the individual legislators had no standing to bring the case, a full legislature could, leaving the door open a crack. The U.S. Supreme Court mostly dismissed the theory in 2023's Moore v. Harper case, but Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito appear to be all in on the theory. For the moment, the pro-voter reforms in Michigan are safe, but be watching for the independent state legislature theory to pop up again soon. We have the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
News from the Center, WRCE.
One, two, three.
Kingdom Wrestling for me is this amalgamation, this mesh of faith and wrestling. Any Christian will tell you that when you go through life, you wrestle with stuff. You wrestle with your faith when you face a really tough challenge. How do you see God in that challenge, and how do you continue to remain in faith? And I really felt that wrestling gives us that opportunity to tell those stories. Ah!
Yeah! Welcome back to the Tom Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes now before the top of the hour, CBS ABC News, followed by Maggie Dawn. That is actually a promotion from a real church in the UK who, to boost attendance, has incorporated professional wrestling into their church services. One of the great stories you'll find on EPOM's World at EPOMsWorld.com. Managing editor thereof, Peter Rapine, joins us on a bi-weekly basis once again from his beautiful abode in the city of New York, New York. So nice they named it twice, Peter Rapine.
yes. I love all the things you have to say about me. It makes me feel so good.
Well, good, because we enjoy, you're one of the guests we enjoy because this is why I enjoy having you so much, because you're a real guy. You're just a real dude, and you're not, there's nothing fake about you, and I love real people. Yeah. I love hanging out with
real touched.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm touched.
All right, what are we going to get to? Want to make sure we get these important. Again, these are real stories, not made up. And Peter and his staff stay up through the night to make sure we bring you the latest and greatest. Go ahead.
And this next one, I think we're going to wish wasn't real. I think there are some details that are still kind of fuzzy about it. Headline reads, did these idiot streamers really give Zins to an uncontacted tribe? Right. And if you don't know what a Zin is, spelled Z-Y-N, a Zin is like a nicotine pouch. They come in different milligrams, and they're really popular right now. They're kind of like a new thing for vapors. Tucker Carlson loves them notoriously. A lot of people really love them.
Of course.
The Haberman guy is a big fan of them.
Really? Is it an oral thing you put in your mouth, or is it you attach it to your body, or what? In the mouth.
So it's like a Nicorette. You kind of suck on it.
Okay.
It's a nicotine stimulant.
All right.
But these guys and their names, and they go by the Nelk Boys. They're pretty famous. I know they've pout around with Trump. They've done streams. They're typically the type of streamers that will give their friends $100,000 gifts or Rolex watches or cars.
Didn't Trump go on one of these with some kid and he gave him a watch or something like a Rolex?
He did, yes. He went on a stream with Aiden Ross, who is kind of a disciple of the Nelk Boys.
Got it.
Definitely inspired by. But this is a YouTube video of theirs where they go to, I believe it's in South America, though it might be in Africa. I'm not 1,000% sure. They don't explicitly say, but in there, you know, 20-minute video of meeting this dangerous, uncontacted tribe, one of the guys whips out a can of Zin and lets the tribesmen have a pouch, as they say.
And where was this tribe at? Or do we know?
I cannot 100% confirm.
Like South America or Africa or what?
I believe it might be.
Oh my gosh.
In the Amazon somewhere.
So these goofballs go into uncharted territory with tribes that have very little contact with other human life, and they just give them these Zin pouches.
Yeah.
Just for giggles.
Just for their own giggles, which is clearly, there's a lot going on here.
There's a lot going on. Because
obviously they're making content for like 15-year-old kids. It's funny, right? We gave them a Zin. But those things are pretty addictive.
Right?
If you've ever had one, you're probably going to want another one. Yeah.
And also, what kind of a budget these people have where they're giving out Rolex watches and taking trips to, you know, the Amazon just for content? I mean, we give our guests a bag of cheese. That's the kind of budget we have. We ain't giving Rolex watches out, you understand?
When you're being bankrolled by companies like Stake or other gambling sites, you kind of have an endless amount of money.
That's what we need to do. We need to get a deal with a gambling site.
I don't know about that.
Get the FanDuel money.
Right? The FanDuel. We need to do a show out in the desert with Brent Musburger and FanDuel. That's what isn't he with FanDuel? I think maybe, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
All right. We got 2 minutes left, 2.5. What do you got next, Peter Ray Bunn?
All right, keeping in line with the gambling, there's a new gambling trend, and this one comes to us from China. Obviously, in the U.S., sports gambling is massive, but there's a new type of gambling where people buy rocks in hopes of finding precious gems. So headline reads, gamblers are now buying rocks in hopes of finding precious stones.
Gamblers are now buying rocks in hopes of finding precious stones. Have I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn? Go ahead, Peter Ray Bunn.
And it's not quite clear if the videos are all fake or if they're just like engagement or if people have ever actually found a precious stone in one of these rocks, because I haven't seen proof of that yet. But if you go on TikTok, there are countless videos of Chinese gambling guys, which is like boxes and boxes of rocks wrapped up in duct tape. And they like grab a rock and they pick it up and they like give a guy $10 and they run home, open up the rock and put it next to, you know, put it under a saw. And every single video ends in the same way where the guy looks at it disappointed because it's just a rock. Like nothing happens. And you can watch them endlessly, hundreds, there's thousands of them. And we assume they're gamblers, but like, and you can obviously sell a gambler anything.
This sounds a lot like cryptocurrency to me, quite frankly. I mean, it turns out it's nothing, but yet people are buying this stuff. All right.
They are. Yeah.
All right. Well, sadly, Peter Ray Bunn, we've run out of time. We're up against the clock. You always bring us some laughs and make me feel better for having talked to you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day out there in New York, New York. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Thank you, Peter.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. All these stories can be found at epalmsworld.com. Thank you to Mr. Zomers and all of you for listening again. We have a speaker. Mike Johnson has been elected. We'll see you next week. For all of us here, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you Monday. Maggie Dawn is next.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney and host of Amicus, a law review, James Santel joins me. Was Merrick Garland the worst AG ever? Plus, updates on the speaker's race and the Wisconsin Election Commission investigation. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, House Speaker Election. I'm Mike Dubusky. The House is in a holding pattern right now as Mike Johnson appears likely to lose his first attempt to take the House speakership and maintain the role he's had since 2023, with Republican Thomas Massie saying ahead of the vote he planned to vote against the Louisiana Republican, Johnson could only afford to lose one more Republican vote. In the last hour, he lost two. Ahead of the vote, Johnson laid out his plans for the speaker role.
Johnson posting a lengthy statement on social media about how he would deliver if elected again. Johnson committing to creating a group of independent experts that would work with both House committees and DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency Group created by President-elect Donald Trump, set to be led by his allies, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy.
ABC's Olivia Rubin. Johnson right now is meeting behind closed doors with some of the holdout votes. This is ABC News.
You can always